We are oral storytellers, yeah. But the way you tell a story at a dinner party is not how you should write it down for a reader. Yeah. And so we had to really learn how to convert our storytelling for a written narrative.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. I want to play a game with you. So I'm going to say a few words, and I want for you to tell me if it triggers a certain TV show theme song in your head. Scranton, Pennsylvania. Dunder Mifflin? That's what she said. Pam Beasley? Well, did it work? Are you bopping your head back and forth to the tune of the Office theme song? You guys, I am so excited to host this incredible, iconic, and much-loved guest. She's a mom, a podcaster, and an author, but perhaps you know her best from her role of Pam Beasley on The Office. Jenna Fisher entered our homes as the receptionist at the Dunder Mifflin Paper Company and became half of one of the most loved TV couples of our generation. Jenna's time playing Pam Beasley led to much more than her iconic TV character status, though. She and her best friend, Angela Kinsey, who played Angela Martin on The Office, launched the Office Ladies podcast together in the fall of 2021. Together, they rewatch a series episode by episode and share all of the behind-the-scenes magic that fans of the show love to hear. And now, that behind-the-scenes magic is coming to book form, too, with their first book together, The Office BFFs. I am so thrilled to share a mic with Jenna Fisher and ask about what it was like to be a part of a show with such massive success, what she loved about being Pam Beasley, how she navigated the new medium of podcasting, and how she balances her personal and professional relationship working with her BFF. Without further ado, let's get into it with Jenna Fisher. It's so cool to be podcasting alongside my business BFF and the woman who inspired me to start my own show. Amy Porterfield is the host of the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast, brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network. With a focus on online business, including digital courses, email list building, social media, webinars, and content, Online Marketing Made Easy breaks down big ideas and strategies into actionable step-by-step processes and is designed to get you more results with a whole lot less stress. If you love listening to the Gold Digger podcast, then you'll love these episodes from Amy. Normalizing mental health for entrepreneurs, thriving as an introvert in an extrovert career, and what happens when a launch doesn't go as planned. Listen to Online Marketing Made Easy wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, Jenna, this is a treat. Not only do I get to interview another podcaster, but I get to interview another Jenna. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. This is my first time being interviewed by another Jenna.
I love it. You know, it's so awesome because you and I are in this like similar stage of the journey. I know you've done a book before, but this is kind of a whole new ball game this time around in how you're doing it. And we share a lot of the same team in terms of editor and publisher. So how are you doing right now in the thick of all of this excitement?
Well, I'll just say, first of all, writing a book is a very big undertaking. And you're right, I had written a book before. And even still, it's like almost like if you have a baby, you forget about it by the time you have the second baby. And you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot about all that stuff. That's how I feel about this book. It's hard. And now, though, we're in the place where the book is coming out and it's out in the world. And I'm just so proud of it. And I get to talk about it. I don't have to write it anymore. I don't have to edit it anymore. This is the part where I get to just celebrate it. So it's a pretty fun time.
It is funny because everyone always says like writing a book is like having a baby. And I wrote my book while pregnant with my second. I had to name my book like 10 days before I named my child. So having done both of these things, I can relate. It is very much like having and birthing a baby and then getting to like announce it to the world. So huge congrats on getting here. Walk me through a little bit of what the process was like doing this with one of your best friends. I think a lot of people romanticize this idea of starting a business or starting a podcast or doing something with a friend. You and Angela are doing that. Walk me through what that's been like in terms of the journey for you.
Well, you know, Angela and I met when we were both cast on The Office, and we became best friends while making The Office, and we had lunch together almost every day, and we would have best friend downloads, and we were sharing so much of our lives, just practically, just hours of our lives were spent together because we had the same job. And not only that, our job, you know, the room of The Office that we shot in was just one giant room, and we all sat in there all day. So we were physically together all the time. And when the show ended, I missed her. I missed the intimacy that just comes with time spent with another person. And our jobs started taking us to different cities in different directions. Our families were growing and changing. And we had the challenge of how do you keep your friendship going when, you know, you don't get to sit in the same room and have the same job. It's kind of easy to have a friendship when you're physically in the same space together every day. So our friendship was adapting, and we just have always respected one another creatively, and we enjoy our time together, and we've always dreamed of going back into business together. And our first dream was that we were going to take over the fourth hour of the Today Show, and we were going to be like Kathy Lee and Hoda. I even have a Kathy Lee and Hoda mug that I would drink coffee out of because this was like our goal for later in life.
I love it.
Well, neither one of us wanted to move to New York, so we had to come up with another plan. And that's when we started thinking about podcasting. And that was like a life-altering idea because we could be our own bosses. We could create the content. So there was the creative aspect, but I have a real entrepreneurial side of me. Like I like to build things and explore things that maybe I didn't know before. So for example, when we got into the podcasting business, I got to be the person who figures out, well, how do you monetize a podcast? What is a download worth? How do you build downloads? Like I got to, that really scratched that itch for me. And then Angela had the extra creative piece of her that loves a good piece of merch. I mean, her brain knows how to like find a phrase and put it on a mug like no one I've ever met. And then it just seemed like a great fit because we also got to be the architects of our own time, which was a big goal of ours. So we wanted to be together and in business together. We wanted something creative. I wanted something entrepreneurial. And then we wanted to be in charge of our time because the entertainment industry is notorious for having very long hours and you have to turn your life over to it. Yeah. So other people tell you where to be and for how long. And sometimes where you have to be is somewhere at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night, because that's when that location was available. And that's hard when you have kids, you know, that's hard when you want to be at the soccer game at 7 the next morning. So we just would talk about this and we spent years strategizing. Was it possible to manifest a job that paid the bills, that ticked all these boxes, that involved the two of us being in business together? And eventually it turned into the podcast, Office Ladies, that we now do every week. And then that kind of morphed into maybe there's this other thing, this writing of this book, which was kind of like a natural offshoot of the podcast. But that, I have to say, that really started because we did a big clean out of our garages and we found a bunch of photos and memorabilia and we didn't know what to do with it. And we thought, well, that's a book.
Yes. Oh,
my gosh. So that's a sort of very long answer to your question about us being in business together. But that's kind of, that's how it came about.
Isn't it funny, too, because I'd imagine it's very similar to like a marriage. So if writing a book is like birthing a baby, having like a partner in business is very similar to a marriage, this relationship. And I love how you guys each have your strengths and your differences that you bring to the table, which I think is just so apparent in how you show up on the show, on your podcast, and in your book, which is so cool because you bring something so unique to the table.
Well, we're really, really good partners, and it is a partnership. It is like a marriage. There's mutual respect. We share the same work ethic, but we're not the same people.
Yes.
And we have different strengths and different weaknesses, and we're very lucky because we balance one another.
I love that. One thing that I'm always so curious about is, Jenna, you obviously played such a classic role. Like, so many of us recognize and love you from this role that you played on TV. How would you describe who you are outside of the character? Like, who is Jenna today? Who am I talking to today?
Well, right now, today, I'm very tired and slightly frazzled. but that's small picture me. That's just me
in the moment.
In the moment. But big picture me, I would say, I mean, I'm very happy. I feel like I have a wisdom about myself and my life. And I think some of that just comes with age. I'm 48. Yeah. And I'm very happy. I'm a very happy person. But people ask me a lot, you know, am I the same as Pam? Am I different from Pam? And Pam is a very big part of me because I'm not sure that I could play Pam without bringing part of myself to it.
Yeah.
But Pam was also, you know, I played Pam like when I was 29. I was cast on the show and then all the way up to about 39. So I'm 10 years further grown than when we left off with Pam. So I did a lot of similar growing and realizing of myself that Pam did. But I, you know, I've continued. So I think I'm even more mature than Pam, because Pam is stuck in time, you know?
Yep.
But also overall, I'm much more ambitious than Pam, just innately as a person. And I mean, it wouldn't take me 3 years to tell the man I love that I love him, you know? Like,
yes.
Jim would have had me on that kiss at casino night. Like, we weren't going to need the cold walk and like all the other business, you know.
I
tend to know what I want and I tend to go after it. Maybe for Pam, it's a little harder.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, like, speaking of going after what you want, like from early episodes of your podcast, you and Angela mentioned and joked about writing a book or like making that scrapbook of all of your memories from your time together with The Office. So what was it like kind of looking back at that stage of your life? Because I feel like hindsight is always 20/20. But what was it like kind of revisiting that decade of your life and where you were in that stage?
Well, it was really special because we uncovered thousands of photos that we had taken. In fact, I think we're the only people who brought our cameras to the pilot of The Office. And we put those photos in the book.
Yeah,
I think they're the only pictures, the only on-set pictures from the pilot are the ones that we took. And that was crazy. I think we had journals that we went through, and that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, to read your journals. It was such a special thing to look back and reflect on just the whole journey. And then to also see how I kind of owe everything in my life to that time. You know, The Office was my big break. It is what gave me the agency to be where I am now. I think the overwhelming feeling was just gratitude. in going over all those things and looking back and seeing how far we've come.
Was there a moment for you, like, you know, you say words like big break and stuff. Was there a moment for you where you were like, oh my gosh, this is much bigger than I thought it was or imagined it would be? Was there anything that you can remember where you're like, holy crap, this is a thing. I'm a part of this thing and this is taking off.
Yeah, I think, you know, because our show was not a hit right out of the gate by any means. In fact, we were constantly on the chopping block and the possibility of being canceled was week to week. Phyllis and I used to call the ratings hotline every Wednesday morning because The Office originally aired on Tuesday nights, and we would call the ratings hotline, and we knew that, like, within a tenth of a point, that if we were under a certain number, that we wouldn't come to work next week. And I still remember that anxiety with Phyllis. And I remember Phyllis and I just being like, we need the health insurance, please. We need this employment. And, you know, and also, this is the greatest job any of us have ever had. We don't want it to end.
Yeah.
So that went on really for years. I feel like the one turning point was when we won the Emmy Award. We did not expect to win. And I remember thinking, I don't think they cancel you after you win an Emmy. I know Ben Stiller had a show that won an Emmy and then it got canceled, but I mean, I don't know. And I also remember when Steve Carell became a huge star after 40-Year-Old Virgin. And I remember thinking, come on, they don't cancel the TV show starring the biggest box office phenomenon in the country. Like, they're not going to let him go, right? Like, we all have jobs, I think, because this guy just became super famous. And that was really crazy, you know, because to me, Steve will always be Steve.
Yeah.
And I especially remember that moment when he became super famous after 40-Year-Old Virgin. And I even turned to John Krasinski at the premiere of 40-Year-Old Virgin. And I said, when this movie comes out, he's going to forever be Steve Carell. Mm. Like, he's going to be a first and last name. Like, everyone's going to know this guy. This movie is so good. And so that was sort of a weird experience because all of us, like, all of a sudden, like, Oscar Nunez was in a movie with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock, and John Krasinski was doing a movie with George Clooney. And I mean, and then I got cast in Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell. And it was just like such a weird time because on our set, we were always just the kids who needed a job.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, all this stuff started happening around us. But our set always remained this very grounded community. But yeah, I mean, there were lots of little things along the way where you just couldn't believe it. You just pinch yourself and think, oh my gosh, this is like happening. Like, people are casting me in other things now. This is crazy.
Oh my gosh. Okay. One thing that I think is fascinating about the culture that we find ourselves in today is that women are leaving the workforce in droves. Like, women are saying, like, I'm done with this workplace culture. And I think about, like, Pam in the Office setting and, like, finding her voice and, like, figuring out who she is. What advice would you have for someone that finds himself in a place where Pam did, in that setting, and trying to establish, like, who she is and what does she stand for and what does she want out of life?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is that it's really normal to not know. I spent a lot of years in various odd jobs wishing that I had something else, something different, something where I was more expressed. And it took me a long time to really name what I wanted. And so I would say sitting in that discomfort, sitting in that dissatisfaction, and then trying to turn that into things you want. Like, it's really easy to say what you don't want. Like, I don't want this. I don't want that. But what do you want? Because you can't see it when it appears unless you knew you wanted it. Yes. So I think that would be the advice that I would give, that, I mean, even make a list, journal it, and that it can take a while and that that's normal.
Yes. Yes. As a leader, you're always on the lookout for ways to arm yourself with knowledge. The books, the seminars, even the podcasts that help you make the best possible decisions for you and for your customers. Because when you know more, more good can grow. With the HubSpot CRM platform, you can store, track, manage, and report on all the tasks and activities that make up your relationships with customers. With a bird's eye view over all your customer interactions, HubSpot empowers your decision-making like never before, so you can give your business and your customers all the good you've got. Learn how your business can grow better at HubSpot.com.
Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best, you're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth, LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/goal to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/goal. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so you have your podcast. Obviously, I love podcasting too. What has been most surprising about creating, producing, recording, editing a podcast? Like, what's something that nobody knows about the world of podcasting?
I didn't realize how much work it would be, how many hours it would be. And I think some of that, I'll say, is the way Angela and I approach it, because yeah. I have friends who do podcasts where they just kind of speak off the top of their head and then they publish it.
Yep.
But, you know, part of our podcast is we have to break down an episode of The Office and we have to provide information about it. And that means research. And we do our own research. We have an associate producer who sends us an outline of the episode, breaking it down scene by scene. And that's it. We then use that outline and we fill in all the blanks. We come up with our fast facts, with all of our side facts. You know, we reach out to people. Angela watches the deleted scenes and listens to the commentary if it's available. We watch each episode about 3 times each week in preparation. So it's a full-time, part-time job. And then we review the episodes after we've recorded them. So we spend a lot of time on the podcast. And I think that when we started, maybe I was a little naive. And maybe then, of course, there's the whole business side of it. You know, there's the whole side of making sure that you have sponsors. And while we do have an ad agent that helps us with advertisers, you know, we're still very hands-on with that part, too.
I mean, it is. It is funny because, like, sometimes people, I remember when I was pregnant with my second daughter, my OBGYN, if she's listening to this, I love you. She was like, I want to start a podcast. And she's like, I think I'm going to launch it next month. And I was like, oh, okay. So you might want to get on it like 8 days ago, because it's a lot of work and it's beautiful and it can be approachable and you can do it from a closet or your car or with headphones, however you want to do it. But it is. It's not just a hobby. Like, there is a lot. There's a science to it. And the same thing with books. It's like there's two sides of it, the creative writing part and then like the launching and selling part. And our brains sometimes feel like they're going to explode when you're trying to balance that like creative expression mixed with like, okay, this actually has to be like a real thing in order for me to have it be a career or a viable option.
Well, I'll say, as an actor going to acting school, they teach you all about performance.
Yeah.
Crafting a character, memorizing lines, all of that, how to relate to a camera versus how to relate on stage. But what they don't teach you is any of the business end, that being an actor is running a small business. You don't learn anything about marketing yourself. You don't learn anything about, like, should your career take off? How do you pose on a red carpet? How do you do an interview? Like, none of that part. And that's something that Angela and I actually talk about in our book, was that we were so happy to figure all that stuff out together. We have a chapter where we lay out our all of our first red carpets our red carpet mishaps and what it's like to, like, suddenly be at some fancy Hollywood shindig and, like, Meryl Streep walks by. How do you not lose your mind and act like a total buffoon? No one teaches you that stuff. And luckily I had Angela by my side and we took care of each other. But even more to what you're saying is just that a lot of times I think creative people, they aren't given a good lesson. I wasn't given a good lesson on how you have to be a good business person too, because what you're doing is a business. It is your small business.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating because most people that are entrepreneurs or have, like, an entrepreneurial endeavor, what you visualize you'll be doing, like the creative piece, is like 5% of what you actually do in order to make it sustainable. So all of a sudden you're doing emails and invoicing and recording and editing, and you're wearing all of the hats, and the actual creative work is such a small percentage of the overall vision that's required to make it sustainable and make it something that serves an audience. And so I do think it's fascinating because it's almost like when you're a kid and you're like, I want to be a veterinarian because I want to pet puppies all day. Well, veterinarians do not pet puppies all day. They're doing all these other things. And, you know, I think it's the same goes for podcasting, writing a book. And I'm assuming the same thing goes as an actor as well.
It's true. I think that's such a great analogy about the veterinarian. And I think that, like, as an actor early on, I had that point of view. Yes. You know what I mean? I was like, it's just, you just get to play pretend all day. Like, I just get to play characters all day. And then it's like, no. Now that you're done doing that, we need you to do these 5 promos. And then I need you to do this photo shoot. And I'm like, photo shoot? What is that?
I know my mom, when I was a kid, I was like, Mom, I think I want to be a vet. And so there was a local vet in our small town in Minnesota. My mom set me up to job shadow, and I had to watch a cat get fixed, and they dissected a turtle. And I was like, never mind. I think I just want to, like, foster puppies in my future. I don't think I want to be a veterinarian. But it is funny. It's like what you think you're going to do versus what you really do is very different. And I think, you know, that's how we learn and evolve as human beings. But, you know, it's amazing. And one thing I'm so curious about, because for people like you and I, you know, we have our shows, you've played this character, you've had all of this. What can we learn about you or your life or your experiences, Pam, in your book that hasn't been in other places?
Well, in the book, I got to have my own chapter. So most of the book is written almost in a conversational style between me and Angela. So each chapter, I'll speak, I guess. I'll write part of it. You'll see my name, Jenna Colon. And then Angela will, you know, then continue the story or give her side of a story. And that's how most of the chapters go. And it was really fun because that way, even if she remembered something differently than I did, we put it in the book because that was our experience of those moments that we shared. But I did get my own chapter called Jam. And in that chapter, and Angela has a chapter called Dwayangela, which is all about Angela and Dwight. But I got to write all about my journey as Pam. And so while JAM stands for Jim and Pam, and I talk a lot about that relationship and getting to work with John Krasinski and creating that sort of romance on screen, I really got to dive deep into Pam's journey and also speak about how my life was like mirrored along with what she was experiencing and how certain scenes or certain moments along her journey, what they meant to me personally or how they were affecting me personally. And I don't think I've ever really gotten to break it down quite like I did in the book.
Oh, I love that. What was your least favorite part of the book writing process?
That very first blank page.
Yeah.
Just having to put words onto the blank sheet of paper.
I feel that.
Because after something was on the paper, then editing or changing or moving things or trimming or adding, all that's great. But just having literally anything to anchor thoughts, that was the hardest. And because always the first thing you write is total crap. It is it's horribly worded. The sentences are rambly. You jump from past to present. I mean, at least me, you know, it's like the end of the story is at the beginning. And then I backtrack and I tell details. And my husband is a writer. He's a professional writer. And I would give him pieces of writing and he would say, babe, you put the ending at the beginning. He's like, here's how. And he like literally helped teach me structure.
Yeah.
Because something else I realized is that I think that Angela and I, we agree on this. We both have a gift for oral storytelling.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from performance and acting. We are oral storytellers. Yes. But the way you tell a story at a dinner party is not how you should write it down for a reader. Yeah. And so we had to really learn how to convert our storytelling for a written narrative.
Isn't it funny too, like when you start writing, you write how you think a writer should sound, or, you know, it's easy to lose your voice because you're like, okay, how would I write this versus how would I speak it? Did you guys do like audio notes back and forth or anything like that to help with the process? Because that really helped me just in like asking myself a question and then speaking it and then taking that and kind of figuring out, okay, what do I have in here that I can use?
Yeah, we would get together and we would record ourselves talking about a topic.
Yes.
And it could just be like free association. So we have a chapter in the book called Holidays. Okay. And we break down all of the various holiday episodes on The Office, as well as how we celebrate holidays personally. So I set down a recorder between the two of us and I said, okay, Halloween episodes, what comes to mind? What are your favorite Halloween episode moments? What are your favorite times we celebrated Halloween as a cast? Almost like we were interviewing ourselves. And then we had those tapes transcribed. And that was a great way to fill that first blank page because now there's words on a page and we could start highlighting the things that we liked the best and then expanding on them. And that was a great way to jump in.
Yes. I loved the editing process because everything got better, right? Like kind of how you said, it's like the first round is crap. One of my friends is writing a book and I was like, just let your first manuscript suck because that's why you have an entire team around you that is literally refining it with every single version. And I know a lot of people like, did you like the editing process or hate it? Because I actually really enjoyed it.
I like the editing process. It's an easier lift.
Yes.
And I love organizing. And I feel like editing is similar to organizing.
Yes.
Because you get to like look at this thing that's on the page, almost like you look at a messy closet and be like, okay, I don't need those four pairs of shoes. Just like, I don't need those four sentences. Those are out of here. You know, and here's, we need to replace this. So I like that part.
Hey, gold diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer
is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Amazing. So we have some business owners that listen to this show that are either in business with their best friend or maybe thinking about it. Do you have any advice on how you balance your personal and professional relationships with Angela? Like, are there different versions of Jenna that show up when you're having different conversations, or do you blend it? What advice do you have for that?
Well, I would say, speaking from personal experience, something we noticed was that because we were doing the podcast together and because we were doing the book together, and for a short time, we had a little animated series based on our podcast, it felt like every one of our conversations was about work.
Yes.
And we began to really miss talking as best friends. Mm-hmm. And we had to stop and say, it's almost like a date night where you're not allowed to talk about the kids.
Yes.
We would have to have best friend dates where we were not allowed to talk about work. We just were not allowed to talk about it.
I love that.
We keep that up. We just had one on Easter. I went over to Angela's house and we just sat in her backyard. It only needs 20 minutes. Yeah. And it's like, okay, no work talk for 20 minutes, just us. What do you want me to know? And she wanted me to know that her new French doors arrived. And I was like, that's fantastic. And I needed to tell her that my washing machine was still broken. I mean, those were the things that we hadn't been talking about with each other that we normally would have.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that is so powerful and such a good reminder too. It's like, you've got to be able to shut the business stuff off. I don't know how people can go into business with their spouse. Like, I think we would kill each other and it wouldn't be good for either of us to do that. But I do think it's so good to be like, okay, what about like life? Like, how are you actually doing? Like, what's new? Okay. I have one final question before we wrap up. Give me a fast fact about the Office BFFs, either the book or the humans. Ready, go.
Fast fact about the Office BFFs, it took us 4 years and 7 months to finish the book. From the first moment we decided we wanted to do it until the publication date. And I think that's important to share because these things, they don't always happen quickly. And that is okay. And we just had to not give up. And we wanted to give up so many times. We wanted to stop writing it. And the benefit of writing it with a partner was that luckily we both didn't want to give up at the same time. So there was always this person who kept the ship moving forward, even if sometimes it was very, very slowly. Yes. And we also took breaks a lot. There were months that would go by where we just couldn't work on the book, you know, but sometimes it takes a long time to make your dreams come true. And that's okay. And it's normal and true, I guess. That.
Who are you most excited to have read the book? Like, is it your kids? Is it someone in your family? Is it a coworker, castmate?
I would say in the future, I'm excited for my kids to have this book. My kids have been able to watch what went into it because we wrote so much of it during the pandemic and they were home too. Yeah. And so, you know, I was working on the book a lot. They heard that phrase. They know what was happening. They saw us collecting pictures. They would see Angela come over and we'd be sitting out on the patio working together. Mm. And I think I'm also excited to have, I guess, kind of documented that time in my life for them, because I'm sure when they get older and they have a better sense of the legacy of this show that their mom was on, well, here's my scrapbook. You know, here is my memories. And my first book that I wrote called The Actor's Life, that really documents from the moment I landed in LA until I got on The Office. So that was my early journey. And now this kind of picks up where that last book left off. And so I think that's what I love, is that my kids will have these two records. Yeah. Should they ever become curious, should they ever want it.
Yeah.
There it is. I did it. And now they have it, sort of like, I don't know, an adult baby book.
Yes. I have a funny story about that. You know, my daughter is three. And so writing the process was pretty much most of her life. And you know how they send you like dummy books to like wrap the cover around so that you have like a book before it's actually printed? I don't know if you did that at all.
We didn't get that.
Okay. Well, so I was like, I need like pictures of like my book before my book is like out, you know? So they sent me 10 copies of Marley and Me. And then I wrapped my cover around it. Well, inside of Marley and Me, there's all these pictures of puppies. And so my daughter is convinced that my book is about a puppy because that's all she's seen. And you know, we haven't held the real thing in our hands yet. And so every time she pretends to read my book, she just tells stories about puppies. And I'm like, that is not what my book is about, but I'm glad that are happy with that story.
I love that story. Oh. That is so cute. That's such a fun memory that you'll always have too.
Oh. Okay. So Jenna, where can everybody find out more about you, listen to your podcast, and purchase your book? Give me all the places.
All right. Well, you can find me at Ms. Jenna Fisher on Instagram. And you can find Office Ladies, the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And we have an Instagram for Office Ladies as well. It's Office Ladies Pod.
Love it.
And then you can buy the book, I mean, wherever you buy books. And we did an audiobook version. And our book has hundreds of our personal photos, which obviously you can't see when you're listening to an audiobook. So we asked ourselves the question, how can we make the audiobook special for people? So we have a bunch of audio surprises in the audiobook. Rainn Wilson did an exclusive foreword that he wrote and read just for the audiobook.
Fun.
Creed Bratton wrote us an Office BFFs theme song that kicks off the audiobook. And then we have special little surprises from Brian Baumgartner, Oscar Nunez, Kate Flannery, Ellie Kemper, Ed Helms, Steve Carell, and Jennifer Garner. So we tried to make the audiobook special too, to make it an experience. And I believe that's, you know, wherever you get your audiobooks. But we tried to make it super fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, Steve Carell is not on my audiobook. So I think what everyone should do is get the audiobook so they can hear you reading it, and then get the actual book so they get the pictures. Like, I think that's the perfect solution.
They would make good companion pieces for sure.
Oh, Jenna, thank you so much for coming on the Gold Digger podcast. Is there anything else you want to leave us with before you sign off?
Well, I'm going to tell you that I'm so happy to have gotten to come on your podcast. And I was listening to one of your podcasts recently, and there was a wonderful hack that I want to just point out to writers, because I wished I'd had this when I was writing the book.
Yes.
It was the idea to use an hourglass as a way to create uninterrupted time. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's great. Because, you know, when I was writing, I would set a timer on my phone where I was like, okay, for 20 minutes, I'm not allowed to whatever. I'm not allowed to do anything but stare at this page.
Yes.
But what I would do is I would sneak a glance at my phone to see how the timer was doing. And then I would see a text that had come in, or a WhatsApp, or an email. And I was like, ugh. So I went on Etsy and I ordered myself a nice little fancy hourglass that I can now have on my desk. And I can create that uninterrupted space. And it has nothing to do with my phone. I don't have to touch my phone at all.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I, as a mother of a toddler, I feel like timers are like life, where you're like, yes, 5 more minutes, you know, everything. So we have timers and hourglasses and things all over the house to help implement what is happening next. And here's a hack too, Jenna. If you don't have your hourglass with you, there's an app called the Forest app. It's just Forest.
I have it. And
isn't
you grow
it amazing?
Little plants. Yes,
you
can grow plants.
Plant.
Yes. Yes, Yes, and you can pick different plants for different things. I have a little flowering, that's going to sound weird, but I have a flowering bush for self-care. Yes. So if I get in my self-care minutes, then I get a little bush with flowers. And then I've got a different little plant, a little tree for yes. if I did work. And
can you tell yes. me I have ADHD? But did you know they actually plant real plants? Tree. Yes, they plant yeah. real plants too. So I'm like, I am going to like single-handedly help climate change by growing these trees by focusing for 10 minutes at a time. You know,
yeah.
a little bit goes a long way.
I love it. Same.
Oh my gosh. Well, I am so excited for the world to finally get their hands on this book. And I'm so grateful to be with another Day Street author. So from the bottom of my heart, congratulations. You are about to impact even more lives than you already have. And you did it. You birthed this book baby into the world. So I'm like cheering you on like a new mama.
Thank you so much. It was a total pleasure being on the podcast. I loved it.
Sometimes this podcast world has me pinching myself, like the fact that I get to talk to Pam Beasley, you know, just on an average Monday. But I am just so excited to be with a fellow author who is right on this journey right alongside of me. And our off-air conversation was just a sweet. I love this podcast and the opportunity it gives me to interview incredible people like Jenna. And I'm just so excited for their book to come out into the world. I now know and respect how much work books truly are. And I love that I get to talk to fellow authors. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Go out, support Jenna's new book. And until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.